So would you like to have your Bibles open it? If you've got a Bible, if you'd like to share one, it would be very good. I'm going to speak for a little time on these verses in Romans chapter 5, which we read together. So Romans chapter 5, let me just point you to the text, which I'm going to highlight in the message. 10th verse. For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. It is my belief that this is absolutely at the heart of the gospel, and though there may be some of you here this morning who you may have already decided I don't want to hear about the gospel, there may be others who say, I really would like to know. I think actually what I'm going to speak to you about this morning is on the card. It's about breakdown cover. And I think it will be relevant to each and every one of us. When I make my trips mostly to London for business, I go down the M1 and invariably at some point I stop off for coffee. And almost always as I go into the service station, there's someone there from the RAC or from the AA. And almost always they stop me to ask if I've got breakdown cover, at which I say, usually, talk to my wife. She'll tell you. But other than that, I can't really answer them. But there are others who at that point, they must be thinking, well, have I got breakdown cover? What's going to happen if I don't have breakdown cover? Is it possible that my motor's going to make it or not? There are others who obviously just lie through their teeth just to get rid of them and say, yeah, I've got breakdown cover made, and that's it. But breakdown cover is so relevant in life. We break down. We break down. Life breaks down. Surely you don't need me to tell you. Surely I don't need to persuade anybody this morning. Every single one of us is alive in our world can see that all around us, life breaks down. I've often thought, why don't they just build a car that won't break down? Wouldn't that be absolutely wonderful? But there is no such thing. There is an obsolescence, of course, built in. But of course, those people who are selling, they know that they're on an absolute winner. They know that they can actually sell their breakdown cover. The Christian gospel, at its very heart, is breakdown cover. And you may never have heard it presented like this before. Now, the camp have been focusing on the question of relationships. Wonderful. What a tremendous thing to do. Relationship with God, relationship with parents, with friends, with brothers and sisters, with social media, in a sexual world, and so on and so forth. Relationships, so important. Wider family, and I don't know what else. Relationships are everything to us. Of course they are. With our parents, with our siblings, with brothers and sisters, with friends, with neighbours. Why we make relationships with complete strangers who become our lovers, our husbands and wives, which is absolutely extraordinary. We make relationships with work and with state. We make relationships which are emotional, sexual, social. So much of what is life as we know it is about relationship. Relationship is about kinship. In love, we embrace, we share, we give, we sacrifice, and all because of relationship. But life teaches us, as I've already said, that relationships break down. Families explode, marriages hit the rocks, in courtrooms, children are fought over. Relationships are dangerous because they go wrong. And for this reason, many people will say, I don't want to get into a relationship again. They've been hurt. They've been hurt by relationship. It's an extraordinary thing. So I just want your attention to speak to you about God's view of relationship. The Bible's great interest, above all else we might say, is in our relationship with the God of heaven. This morning, I might leave you with a thought that you might not remember anything else, but you can go away with this and say, do I have a relationship at all with God? Do I have a relationship at all with the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm a great believer in the logic of the Christian faith, but the logic of the Christian faith is superseded by the whole question of entering into relationship with God. Now, the Roman Christians were being told that they had been reconciled to God. It must have been their experience that they were apart from God and then they were reconciled to him. And so at the very heart, at the center of the Christian gospel, if you're ever to remember what it's really about, is this whole matter of reconciliation. Now, some of you might say this morning, well, I don't read the Bible, I've never read it. I understand that. I was once like that. I'd never read the Bible. Until I was 19, I'd never read the Bible. I knew nothing about it. But it only takes very little time if you start to read it. Then it becomes obvious that God has a character. And that his character is holy and pure. And that he is altogether righteous, as Abraham Lincoln said wonderfully. He is altogether righteous. He is pure and holy and good. And therefore, there are things which he loves, and naturally there are things, like you, which he hates. And he hates them from a place of a pure cause. And so instantly, as we begin to read the Bible and we discover what God is like, we ask ourselves, what relationship is there between me and God? Is there any relationship at all? And we quickly realize that it is obvious that such a God can see us just as we are. He can see our outward behavior. He can see all of our secret thoughts and our motives and our desires. And what this does to us is it creates the most dreadful discomfort. Now, within human relations, we can easily hide our dark side. We can hide our unpleasant side, usually for quite a while. But eventually, even that comes out. And eventually, of course, it means that there are broken relationships. The truth comes out. And yet, with God, nothing can be hidden. And immediately I say this, it alters any view that you have of your relationship with God. Our private words, our deeds, our thoughts are all on display before him. It alters any relationship that we thought that we might have. And you know what happens? Our conscience kicks in straight away. And the strain is felt immediately. Well, if you tell me it isn't, try it with human relations. Try it with human relations. Go on, try it. You all know the answer. The strain is felt immediately, instantly. We know that there is a strain on the relationship. Why would it be any different with God? And so the strain on the relationship with God shows that we are absolute opposites. He's good by nature, and I'm bad by nature. He's true by nature. And I'm a liar by nature, because the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. He's pure by nature and I'm polluted by sin by nature. And although that at times we might have had a strong urge to perhaps even reach out to God, yet the breakdown always shows itself. In other words, the motor won't get me from here to there. We might try to restart the motor of our lives. We might try to raise up some spiritual inclination, and yet we can't do it. Sin always stands between us and it won't let us get to God. We can't travel towards him. It's an impossibility. The relationship with God is so marred. If I were to use these words, you'd say I was extreme, but they're not my words. They're the words of the Apostle Paul. So if you had any argument, it wouldn't be with me, it would be with him. He says, while we were enemies. Now this is so opposite to everything that you hear about Christianity. Everybody is the friend of God. Hold on a minute, what does the Apostle Paul say? He says, while we were enemies. What a word. It is extraordinary that he should choose such a word like that. Now, in a broken marriage, things might descend to a place where communication has broken down. But when the couple treat each other as enemies, you know that war has broken out. So when Paul uses the word enemies, he means us to understand that there is enmity, there is an active enmity. But listen to me really carefully. Don't forget this. This active enmity is not on the part of man. It's on the part of God. He is the one who, as it were, has become our enemy. It's God's holy hostility. And if people would understand this, do you know they would flee to Jesus Christ to become Christians? It is God's holy hostility against our sinfulness, which tells us that there is a total breakdown. God has banished us from his holy presence. Do you know what King Henry VIII used to do when he had enemies? When he had enemies, he just banished them. And for him it was useful. There was the Channel. So he could send them to Belgium, or send them to Holland, or send them to Spain. They weren't to set foot in his kingdom, not in his territory, never to come into his court. They were banished. They were his enemies. The holiness and the perfection of the holy God of the Bible says, you are my enemies. And anybody who has understood the message of the Bible has understood right from the very beginning that this is exactly what happened with Adam and Eve. To begin to understand what the gospel is, to understand this first of all. If this isn't right, nothing else will be right. And let me just say this to you. As I've heard this, over 40 years of being a Christian, we'll just patch things up. I'll make up with God. I'll just become his friend. This is to miss the point entirely. The enemy is banished. He is banished. He can't come to the very edge of the court of the king. He is an enemy. He is outside of the kingdom, outside of the country. Do not set a foot inside my kingdom, is what the king would have said. And this tells us that the breakdown, the separation between ourselves and God is absolute. And when you talk to people privately, they will honestly say to you, I'd like to try to get to God. And they mean it. They say, I'd like to reach out to him, but he's beyond me, I can't relate to him. Ah, that's it. Can't be done. You're banished from the kingdom. This is very accurate. When anyone tells you that, they're being very honest, and they're being very, very accurate. And this confirms that the breakdown is absolute. The two parties can never meet. So what can be done? Can anything be done? Well, what can be done is what we read in the text. There is a way to restore relationship. It has to be the removal of God's alienation from us. That's what has to be removed. It's not for us to say God will make up with you. It's rather like this. It's for him to act on our behalf and for him to come to us. And that's the glorious message. Why do we keep going on about this word, which many of you might say I don't understand it? It's the word grace. God is gracious towards sinful people. He makes the move. It is the death of God's Son that reconciles people to God. And if, again, you don't remember anything, you might remember this. The reconciliation doesn't come from man's side. It comes from God's side. He is the worker of it. He is the doer of it. In a broken marriage, you'll always hear this. The parties will say, "I'm doing all the running." Or he'll say, "I'm doing all the running." Or she'll say, "I'm doing all the running. He's not meeting me. She's not meeting me halfway." Well, in our breakdown in relationship with God, God does all the running. He's keen, keen as mustard. We're unwilling. He's ready to come to us. We're unwilling to go to him. He's generous. We are mean-spirited. He's providing all the answers and we are providing none. And as sin keeps its grip on us, as it does, we can never ever get free. We might have a slight inclination to turn to God, but we never ever get there. Paul says, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled. It's an extraordinary, but the most beautiful Christian truth. To be reconciled with God. We've had some celebrations recently regarding the First World War. And some of you know the accounts of one Christmas when the German soldiers decided to have a break over Christmas and sing Silent Night, and the Allied forces did their bit. And then on Christmas Day they decided to break out a football. Hey, I've always said football's a great game. There it is. They broke out a football. And it brought the enemies, the warring factions together. Isn't that amazing? We can hardly get our heads around it. It brings tears to your eyes to just think of it. That they simply stopped killing each other to play a football game. Wonderful. And I'm sure that those men might have wished that it could have gone on and on and on. And on, and that they would all be reconciled. It just tells you that you can have the best of wishes, but you can't carry it out ultimately. And so the day after, they picked up their rifles and they started to shoot each other again. And in our warfare by nature with God, it doesn't matter how many times he says to us, "I'll sue for peace, I'll be reconciled to you," we pick up our weapons and we fight him again and again and again. And this is just the truth of our nature. We are a warfaring people against the God who has made us, who would come to us and be gracious to us. The Christians in Rome were reconciled to God. They had become Christians by virtue of God's dear Son dying in their place and them putting their lives into his hands by faith and trust in him. Saved and reconciled to God. Wouldn't it be wonderful if there was someone here this morning who would say, "I would place my faith in the Saviour." This brings me to my final thought very quickly. It has to be relationship with Jesus Christ. Some people say, "Oh, I'd like a relationship with God." Ah, but it must be relationship through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Say, there must be another. No, there's no other way. Some people say, "I don't know what God's like." Of course you do. I always say that. People say to me, "I don't know what God's like." I say, of course you do. You know what God's like? Say, how? Said, do you know what Jesus is like? Then you know what God is like. The only way for us to enter into relationship with God is to enter into relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Christianity is about being brought out of breakdown, not by a counsellor, not by two parties trying to find a common ground. Christianity teaches us this, that only as we enter into relationship with Jesus Christ can we enter into relationship with God himself. And we must believe in his sacrificial death. We must put our faith in him. We must come to him as we are. Paul says bluntly, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Somebody says this morning, I'm waiting to try and get better. You'll never get better. It was while we were still sinners, Christ takes us as we are. That's the glory of the Christian gospel. He takes us as we are, and he is reconciled to us, though he is by nature our enemy because of his holiness. Yet he comes to us in Christ himself, and he breathes new spiritual life into us. And though like a car we're all broken down, and it's spluttering, and it won't start, and it won't go. I said to someone last week, let me talk to you about heaven. And this person said, I'm not so sure I believe in heaven. I said, isn't it odd that when I speak to you about something like heaven, you're not sure about it, and yet when we die, everybody is told that they've gone there. How extraordinary. What lies we have been told. Our breakdown in relationship with God leads us to believe the lie. We need fixing. That's the whole point of the Christian message. And when we do realize that we need fixing, not that I am going to break down, but before God I am broken down, then the gospel provides the ultimate answer. And he asks this question this morning, are you covered? Now, going back to the service station, the vast majority of priest people, I guess, they just lie through their teeth when they're asked, are they covered? They just lie through their teeth. And when it comes to the question of my salvation, are you covered? People just lie through their teeth. Or they hope that they're going to just somehow make it in their broken down old vehicle, which is my life, which is your life. God can remake it. That's what his work is. His work is to refashion us, to change us, to alter us, not just for this life, but for all eternity. One last word. This is the relationship to beat all relationships, the one with God. But you'll never know about it unless you come to the Saviour. It's as you come to him with whatever form of brokenness you have, that you come to him. Not to me, not to this church, but to him. It's then that he does his work of fixing our relationship with him. Paul says, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the boast is, in the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. If I come to you at the end of the meeting and I honestly ask you, I shake you by the hand and I say, have you broken down? If I come to you and I say, are you broken down? Have you had a breakdown? What will you say? And if I ask you then, has God fixed you? You'll be able to answer. You'll be able to say, Christ has reconciled me by my faith and my belief and my trust in him. I'm not putting you all on edge, don't worry. I won't come and accost you at the end of the meeting. It's lovely to see you all here, particularly the campers. We're going to have some presentations soon, I know that we are. May God bless the truth of his word to us this morning. Amen.
Amen.